Let's turn back to Luke 6 this evening, verse 45 is where we left off earlier today. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We dealt extensively today about the trees. Good tree bringeth forth good fruit, not corrupt fruit, and the reverse, that a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, only corrupt fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. You can't get figs from thorn bushes or grapes from bramble bushes. Nope, a tree is known by his own fruit. And Jesus wanted people to understand that he was not specifically talking about grapes and figs. He was talking about people. He was talking about the people who he was speaking to, as well as those who were the leaders of religion of that day. He wanted to make it very plain and very simple for his listeners to understand the nature of what is true and what is false, or more specifically, who is true and who is false. Live fruit cannot come from dead plants. The thorns and the thistles do not have budding fruit as grapes or figs. Each plant's fruit or absence thereof is always the same as the tree itself. As it is in nature, so it is in human nature. Jesus told his followers that which was rather plain, because he wanted them and us to be discerning about who is true and who is false. And it's really simple. Just look at the fruit. The heart is the treasury or the storehouse where all the fruit of a person's character and life is, and out of that storehouse is going to come the words from that person's mouth. And from that, you'll be able to determine what is in the storehouse, whether there's anything good or whether it's evil. The deeds and the words go together. For he says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. The word abundance means in which one delights, or of that which fills the heart. Either way, the heart or the hearts of evil men are and were filled with evil. That hasn't changed. It will not change. They delight in that which was and is evil from their hearts, which were and are filled with evil, comes the evil speech. It's all part of what's in their storehouse. So it was not possible to speak good from their mouths when there was no good in their hearts. Through and through, the very core of their being was filled with evil there. Thoughts, their passions, their desires, their appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors, understanding, faculty, and the seat of intelligence and reason, their will, character, the very soul or core of that person is filled to the brim with evil. There was no possible way that they could speak that which was not in their hearts to speak. It was all coming out. And when you think of evil, don't always think of something profane language. Of course, that's A definite tip-off, as James 1 teaches, but is not the only thing that characterizes bad fruit when a person is speaking. I mean, lies and deceptions, all that is a clear sign of what's in that person's storehouse. But today, instead of looking at the fruit and making a clear evaluation like the Lord taught his disciples, we want to adopt a non-biblical reasoning behind our explaining away the truth called the benefit of the doubt. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what that is in terms of the Bible, the benefit of the doubt. It's also closely related to we're all human, you don't walk on water, nobody's perfect, and these other things. It's all, well, you know, they're nice people. Give them the benefit of a doubt. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? Since we're so quick and prone to say, well, we believe what Jesus said, well, I don't see Jesus saying give the person the benefit of a doubt, as if, well, they're evil. They're saying things that are evil, but give them the benefit of a doubt that they might be good. I don't see that here. I see either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt or its fruit corrupt. A tree is known by its fruit. I don't see any given the benefit of a doubt. That's what we think. And that is non-biblical terminology, which has been used to explain away a multitude of sins among many a church and its people. An evil heart is revealed by evil speech and deeds. And that's evil. To stand in contrast to what the Lord clearly stated is evil. That's why I'm saying everything isn't profane. When you contradict what the Lord said, that's evil. In fact, that's the ultimate evil. To contradict what the Lord said is the ultimate evil, because it's calling God a liar. The Lord says you can know a person by their fruits. You can see what's in the storehouse by watching what comes out of their mouth, listening to what they're saying. And you're saying give a person the benefit of a doubt. Well, the Bible doesn't say give a person the benefit of a doubt or adopt all the types and things equal to that. No, the Bible says here's the fruit. But we don't want to do that. That just calls God a liar. An evil heart is revealed by evil speech and evil deeds. It's that simple. And the church and individual saint cannot afford to be stupid in ignoring this horrible dilemma, which continues to plague many. I watched the trend. It never ceases to amaze me. I would say something 15, 20, 30 years ago, and I couldn't understand it back then. You see the trend at its beginning, at its embryonic stage. You see troubling signs. You see things that are grievous, don't make much sense. And you see the trend. It starts out slow, but you see the mass of the professed church is moving in a general direction which is deemed good. But you say no. You know, we haven't tightened up this issue with the Bible. We haven't really dealt with this Bible business. We don't really believe it. And I was one of a number of people way back in the 70s, late 70s, crying out, we need the Word of God. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong. And what was such a blessing back in that day, God introduced me to so-called Christian radio. And back then you had some wonderful men that teach the word. Lehman Strauss, great, great preacher, when he did the Viola Hour years ago. Dr. McGee and a number of others who were the handful of old-timers who taught the Bible. And they were the only ones left. When they died, everything died with them. And Johnny Mack, he started his seminary and college and, you know, literally turned the preaching world on his head and started getting people to look at exposition as what is genuine preaching. And frankly speaking, it is genuine preaching. I don't even know what topicalizing is, other than somebody giving an opinion, frankly. I just don't think the idea of 10, 15 minute sermons or taking passages out of context to make it say whatever is the way to do anything, especially not this. I mean, this is the word of God. You don't play with this. And I saw this trend way back that something is not right. And sooner or later, we're going to pay for it. You're not looking at this. I'm watching it. I might be alone in my mind, but I'm watching this. Look at how far we've fallen. We're about ready to vote for a man who is the absolute antithesis of Christianity, and so many of the church don't even know the difference. That's what I was talking about in the 70s. That our looseness with the word has allowed us to come to the place where we are so inept spiritually that we can't even recognize a man who lies to us in our face. His words reveal his heart, his storehouse is completely evil. But we're willing to abandon all sense and reason to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what I was talking about in 77, 78, 79, 80, up until today. I've watched the church numbers decline like a meteor descending upon the earth. I was only a handful of ones saying back then, something isn't right here. We're going to pay the price. We're going to pay a real large price down the road. Nobody paid attention. Nobody. Ah, you're young in the faith. What do you know? I know the Lord. Okay, I know Christ. This isn't about who I am. It's about who he is. We need to pay attention to this. Look at where we are now. Look at where we are now. Look at us, a handful of people just barely holding on. Can't find people, but a handful of people who might intersect the program and go, wow, I never, lady, go, wow, I like this, wow. Okay, great. Now what? Guy called from L.A., oh, Brad, I never heard. I said, who is this man? Speak it. Where's he at? Where are these people at? That's how far we've come. I went to one of these markets a few weeks ago. Lady just poured out. I've been asking God to show me where church is. I said, well, I'm here. Here's your answer. Here's the phone number. Here's the address. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to talk to you about this anymore. If you're obedient to God, you'll show up. If not, we'll all know it. I'm going to. I know. That's what you say. They all say. I've had that conversation more times than you will ever know. That's how far we've gone down. As the church world, the professing saints don't even know what to do. They'll tell you they know what to do, but they don't have the will to do it. And Jesus talks about that right here. I've warned people for years. Others way before I was born warned people for years. We're all viewed as alarmist fools. We didn't see the big picture. We need to be more, you know, more appealing to the world and all this other kind of junk. And look where we are today. I was listening to a man on a program up north before. I was trying to fix something on the computer, finally fix it. I was listening briefly for a moment, and he was talking about trials. How he said, I just know, I got to know that I know that I know that God is moving or doing something. I know the language. I know the talk. I know what he's saying. And his friend said, well, what is it that you need to know? Well, I just got to know that I know that I know that God is moving. And I respect you, but you're not a clone of the Lord. I got to know what God is doing. I understand what he's saying. I know the language. And I'm saying to myself, well, I got that. But it better be in his word that you know. Because that's where all our knowledge is. I know this guy. He's not talking about it. He's talking about how some experience or feeling or whatever is going to give him the knowledge or understanding that he suddenly knows what he think he needs to know. He doesn't know anything if he's waiting for some emotion or some circumstantial feeling or whatever to change, because that's not going to matter. That'll change tomorrow and change back to where it was. He'll be disappointed. what we know better come from this word. And this, him and others, is what we have. We have all this junk, and now no one can tell the difference. And God is so gracious again to show me that people can listen to me and listen to a heretic and not know the difference. That's a part of the call I got this afternoon. You can listen to Harley Howard and you can listen to a heretic and not have any discernment to know the difference. I don't know how anybody can listen to me for 5 minutes and go, look, this guy is not going to agree with this nonsense. But I've seen the church go there. Now, give them the benefit of a doubt. And that was subtle. Well, they talk about Jesus. Give them the benefit of a doubt. A lot of that goes on. Well, you know, they're nice people. Give them the benefit of a doubt. Well, they have a large congregation. Give them the benefit of a doubt. Well, we all sin. Give them the benefit of a doubt. It was all this just keeps going and going and going. And suddenly, there's no one righteous anymore. And if you even mention it, you're looked upon like you're some kind of a scab. And persecuted. That's exactly what they did to the Lord. He was in an environment where everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. And so he, like his children today, suffer from the same brunt of religion. It keeps coming. It's amazing. This nonsense that we see the evil heart, we hear it, we see it. Give them the benefit of a doubt. No, you give them the benefit of a doubt. I'm not giving anybody. Why should I give? What is that supposed to mean? Like, just tell the Lord no. No, God, no. No, forget you. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's a scare. Every time I see this verse, it scares me. Why are you calling me Lord? Why are you making it your business to keep calling me Lord, Lord? Yet you're not doing what I say. If I'm your Lord, as you keep calling me, why aren't you doing what I tell you to do? Why are you even calling me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why? To what advantage is it for you to call me Lord and not do what I command you to do? People are under the impression that say is a suggestion. That's a command. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? I believe this is one of the most frightening and interesting passages in the entire Bible because of the obvious truth that is contained in it. One of the most interesting truths about this passage are the words Lord, Lord. Interestingly enough, in the New Testament, the words Lord, Lord, in that manner, Lord, Lord, is used 5 times in the New Testament. And in every one of those 5 times, it speaks to those who are either lost or at least hypocrites. And I want to go through every one of them. Well, we just did number one. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's number one. You don't do what I say, so why are you calling me Lord? Number two is Matthew chapter 7. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Here is used twice. In verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, that's interesting in and of itself because there's a lot of people calling him Lord, Lord. Not everyone. Everyone may say it, but not everyone who says it shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord. Oh, there's going to be a whole lot of religious people at the great white throne judgment going, Lord, Lord, or didn't we do this and that? He says, have we not prophesied in thy name? What's the big toy? One of the big rattles. Prophecy, the ministry of prophecy. Sure. They're calling on the Lord all the time. And they got whole so-called ministries of prophecy. And call us a prophet and prophetess. Why you call me Lord, Lord, do not the thing which I say? I never call that woman into no ministry. Why is she calling me Lord, Lord? She ain't doing what I'm saying. And why are you calling me Lord, Lord when you put her up there? You're not doing what I'm saying. Lord, haven't we in thy name cast out many demons? We prophesied in your name, Lord, Lord, that we cast out demons in your name, Lord, Lord. And in thy name we done many wonderful works. Really? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. So whatever they were doing was iniquitous. It was evil. They called him Lord, Lord. They did religious deeds. I believe they did exactly what they said, and probably under the power of the devil, because it couldn't be the power of God. They prophesied in his name. Many people are prophesying in the name of Jesus, and you, what in the world are they talking about? We're not the ones who market insanity and buffoonery on religious television. Stuff started centuries ago. You know, we just packaged it a little different. But it's the same nonsense, same false doctrine. Prophesied in the name of Jesus. Who is this fool blaspheming God? And cast out devils, and you put your hand on the TV and I'll cast that devil out of you. Who was this fool not doing what the Lord said? And we're supposed to give them the benefit of a doubt because they say the name Lord, Lord, and he himself said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and not doing what I commanded you to do? Not everyone that says unto me. They're saying it not in general. They're saying it to him, Lord, Lord, oh, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So twice is used there. Matthew 25, verse 11 and 12. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Oh, they thought they knew him. Now, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. In all of these examples, we already looked at Luke 6:46. Last one, Luke 13. They all call him Lord, Lord. All made the assumption. Wrong assumption. A lot of people calling Jesus Lord. And I hear people. I listen to what they're saying. I listen to what they're not saying. And what they're saying is frightening. It should be frightening. I'm like, these people don't know the Lord. They don't know him. Oh, they say nice things about Jesus, but they don't really know him. And the thing that really just ices it for me, they don't do what he says. Well, don't let me get ahead of myself. Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Listen to this. Then said one of them, Lord, are there few that be saved? Did you hear that? Are there few that be saved? Now, he's going to say all this. The answer really is yes. But he's going to answer it in a way that there's no doubt that the answer is yes. Are there few that be saved? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Listen to this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's another one of those verses that scared me. Lord, are there few that be saved? He said, you better strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because there's a whole lot of people going to the gate, but they ain't getting through it. Whole lot of folks saying, Lord, Lord. Religion is big. Folk have a bad life. They want to get religion or get religion as they could get whatever. And they run to the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the dome, the whatever, the cathedral. They go around, oh, Lord, Lord. Allah, Allah, whoever, whomever, whatever. You better enter in at the straight gate. You better strive. You better make every effort in your worthless life to enter in that straight gate. Now, you ran the marathon. You didn't run it with boots on and a heavy winter jacket, pockets filled with bricks. You had to strip down to the bare necessities and run like you wanted to win that puppy. You know about running. That makes perfect sense. I don't have to know. I know a lot about. I used to run, believe it or not. That was long, 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 long time ago. But I don't have to be a genius to see people running a race and realize they can't run with no heavy winter coat. These long, you know, cowboy coats, leather coats down to the ground with big old bricks in their pockets and big untied boots. They wouldn't get too far. You got to strive. Heaven ain't no skipping cakewalk. There ain't going to be no people just lollygagging into the kingdom. Oh, no. They're folk, they're foolish. They don't think about these things. They think then because they say the right words, know the right people, go to the right church, whatever. They don't know what's going on. They don't know him. He said, you better strive. You better strive to enter in at the straight gate. The straight gate is the gate. Okay? For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Doesn't sound familiar? Well, your name, Lord, we prophesied and cast out demons and done wonderful work. Lord, Lord. We saw you. We ate and drank with you. We had church fellowship after the preached word, Lord. After that prayer meeting, we all broke down that Subway sandwich. We had a great time. And we did it in your presence, Lord. We did it in your name. We all prayed before we ate the food. And we said in Jesus, we didn't say in Buddha, but in Jesus' name. We did it in your presence, Lord. It was for you. And thou hast taught in our streets. Man, we follow Big Black Preacher. We follow Dr. McGee. We follow, you know, all these Layman Strauss before he lost his marbles. We follow John MacArthur. We follow Chucky Swindoll. We follow this guy and that guy and this teaching and that school and that seminary. And he followed all this stuff. You taught us. We got Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian, radio, whatever. Printed page, internet, coming out of our ears, iPod, Zoom, you name it, we got it. You're teaching us everywhere we go. But he shall say, I tell you, or I told you, I know not, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. I know he's talking to these rebellious Jews that had the promise, but don't exclude yourself from it. The same principle applies in the New Testament. Jesus made it clear that even though these people thought they had a relationship with God and that they knew him, and that no matter what their actions were towards obedience to what the Lord told them to do, Jesus made it clear, when it was too late for them, of course, he never knew them. They thought that their disobedience to what the Lord told them to do bore no consequences and was not an issue whether they were his children or servants or not. They didn't think it mattered. It was just a little infraction there, a little slip up there. Oh, we call everything now a mistake, a slip up. No, it's still sin. It's crazy. It's lunacy. It's still sin. We have all these different names for evil. It's not evil anymore. It's a medical condition. Yeah, it's called evilus telelius. That's what it's called. It's still evil. They thought that their disobedience to what the Lord told them to do, not the big black preacher, not the husband or wife, not some mom or dad, not some brother or sister, not some preacher or pastor, not some church doctrine. No, what the Lord told them to do. No one goes to hell because of a preacher, and no one gets to heaven for the same reason. What the Lord told them to do. This between, oh Lord, I've been saying this forever, the individual and the Lord. It's got nothing to do with the sources that he uses, the vehicles, the vessels that he uses. It's between you and me and the Lord individually. You and the Lord, me and the Lord. Let me make that clear. I don't want someone to say, he just put himself, no. No mediatorship, nope. Got to make it clear because folk don't hear. They thought that their disobedience to what the Lord told them to do bore no consequences and was not an issue whether they were his children or servants or not. That's a dangerous assumption. It's a very dangerous assumption made by multitudes throughout redemptive history. The error of that assumption was and is eternally fatal. Lord, I want you to give me this. And he does it. And what do? You show him no glory and no gratitude. Lord, I really want a church. This is one of the most absurd illustrations, I think. Lord, I just hear all this stuff, all this false doctrine. Lord, is there anybody out there that's teaching the truth? And you just had a bow and a venture here, whomever, they're teaching the truth. Oh, wow, that's some great truth. God just answered, don't you recognize when God answers your prayer? No. Where's your church located? Well, 2 miles from you. Oh, that's too far. Okay, well, have a bad day. That's just too far to go. I know it is. We don't have the hot dogs and the Starbucks, you know, and the Krispy Kremes and whatever. We ain't got them. We don't have them. Some people, well, bring them. If you got to watch, you bring them. On your way here, bring some. If you want some Starbucks, bring your Starbucks. Yeah, bring them, right? Yeah. You know, I got some Starbucks beans. I can ground the cup. Oh, well, it ain't the same. Well, stay home then. It ain't the same. What do you think they use? I buy the same beans they buy. Come from the same place. Yeah, but Reverend, how do you know how I fixed the coffee? Ain't never been here to know. It all tastes the same for a whole lot less. If I want to make an original Starbucks coffee, just double the grounds. That's it. That stuff is strong. Just double the grounds. That's how Starbucks, just double the grounds. Throw a little dirt in there, too, if you want, because it gets that earthy flavor. That stuff is strong. I don't care what it is, super light, latte, mocha, whatever. You know, you want just stuff is strong. Put that in your engine. But you can ride that thing 50,000 miles on that cup of whatever it is, a super-duper vente fuel, whatever it is. I guess that makes the coffee more chic. You put your pinky up when you're drinking. They call it venti and all that kind. Just give me large. We don't have large. We got venti. What is that supposed to mean? Well, it means large. Whatever it means, just give it to me. People just make these assumptions that it's all right. Well, and we don't see the at. Well, don't get it. Don't get ahead of yourself. Every reference again, in addition to what I just said, it is always associated with people who are always saying, Lord, Lord. They're always the ones always saying the Lord, touting the Lord's name. always making the biggest fuss about knowing and being with the Lord, but who fail at the true test of knowing Christ, and that is the test of simple obedience. Simple obedience. Whosoever heareth these sayings, comprehends these sayings of mine, and doeth them. Whosoever heareth or comprehends these sayings of mine, and doeth them not. Everybody understood what he said. They made a choice either to do it or not. It's that simple. He didn't say, he that heareth and understandeth or comprehendeth, as if they didn't. Oh, they did. Because when they did hear what he said, they rebelled against what he said. And we'll see that too. They're always talking about loving the Lord, knowing the Lord, wanting to be with the Lord, Lord, Lord this, but they don't obey him. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How could you possibly insult me and call me your Lord when you don't even obey me? They are the ones who are always known by their works rather than their words, or rather their words rather than their works. In fact, not only do their words and their deeds never come together, but negate each other. Biblically, they negate each other. Because there are a lot of busy people in the church, but they're not doing the Father's will. So whatever they're saying or whatever they're doing, it negates each other. And this truth is seen in a number of New Testament passages. And notice carefully how their profession is contradicted by an opposite action. Their profession is contradicted by the opposite action of their deeds. Turn to James 2. And really, these are all simple. Simple evidences. And these are just a sample. And I mean a sample. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith? Oh, he has. He keeps saying it. Keeps saying he's a believer. He has faith in God. He's a Christian. He knows the Lord. He's always saying that. Always. You say, you know, I don't mean no harm, folk. I want you to hear me. I want you to try to listen objectively with the head, not with the emotion. There were people I used to know. And maybe I don't know. I don't know if I know them anymore. I don't know if they know me anymore. But you could say, like, good morning. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Just say good morning. I didn't ask for a sermon. Okay. You say good morning. Oh, praise the Lord. I got to bless. I just said good morning for crying out loud. It's not time to have church service outside. You know? And don't put Jesus on your answer machine unless you're living for him. May God bless you and keep you throughout the day. May he make his face a shining. You better walk right, fool. These folk are listening and watching you and me. What doth the profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? No. And then listen, it gives a very simple illustration, a very simple test of obedience to see whether our faith has any meaning. Nothing outlandish. Walk on glass, chew nails, set yourself ablaze. No. Simple, simple evidence. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, huh? And one of you who claims to keep saying to have faith in the Lord and what have you. And you say unto them, or you keep saying unto, depart in peace, God bless you, be warmed and filled. You tell them to be warmed and filled. They don't need to hear you tell them to be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What is a profit? What is your faith profit? And how does it profit the people that have need? It doesn't, and you have no faith. That's what he says. So he says you have no faith, no matter what you're saying. And here's a perfectly clear example. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. 1 John 1. We could do this exercise for days. Believe me. These are all samples. 1 John 1, look at verse 6. If we say, same people, yabbity, 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 yabbity. They always saying they have fellowship with the love. We walking with the love. We just, ain't God blessed a beautiful day today? Blah, 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 blah. God this, Jesus that, blah, blah, blah. You want to, does it take all, are you trying to convince yourself of something? See, I don't think a person needs to go and do all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of just habit, rote, tradition. That's their vain attempt at witness. Good morning. Oh, God bless you. And may he make his face to shine upon you. Just say good morning. And all, wait a minute. Hold on here, sister. What's up with you? Oh, man. Every time he'd be shy, got me scared. I forget it. I wave him from afar because he's going to scare me to death. There's something. I've stopped talking to him because they're acting crazy. Good morning. Hey, oh, what? What? What's wrong with people, man? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. It's simple. We lie. And what? Do not the truth. Truth has to be dude as it is. We lie. I like John. Nobody would want John to preach in his church. I would. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, here we go again, that we have no sin, but we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the only liar I know is us. And his word is not in us. And if we're liars, his word ain't in us. 1 John 2, look at verse 4. He that saith, I know him, I know the Lord, I know God, I know the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, I know it all, and keeping not his commandments, is a liar. Again, the clarity of this is unreal. He's a liar. John said he's lying. He's a deceiver. And the truth is not in him. The second time that's said, there's no truth in that person. When you call God a liar, there's no truth in you. When you're a liar, you there's no truth in you. But whoso keepeth his word, there we go. That's the mark. Verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How clear does it have to get? If somebody listens, you know, preacher, you make this. I wish you morons would stop making this stuff about me. It's not about me. I'm not going to be on the throne. If you expect to see me on the throne judging folks, you crazy. You could take all your objections to hearing this right to Jesus. Because that's where they're going. They're not going to me. Whoso keepeth his word, in him truly is love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him, I abide in the love, my strength and confidence and my security and my high tower and low tower and everything else is in the law. Preacher, and I knows him. I know that I know that I know that I know that. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You walking like Jesus? We all ain't perfect. I know. Same chapter, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light hated his brothers in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he's going, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I could not believe some of these commentators trying to make this into a believer. Going like, these folk are insane. I ripped that right out of my comment. I said, who wrote this madness? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That guy. he used to be a real expositor. Well, you know, give it time. The fruit will come out, like the tree illustration. Oh, it looked pretty good year one. Give it some time. Verse 20 of 1 John 4. And you see in these few passages alone. And we can go to chapter 3, talk about this world's goods and blah, blah, blah. We can keep going. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, and say means keep on saying, I love God. I love God. Okay, who are you trying to convince? I love God. Really? What you getting all uptight about it for? Man. If I got to look like that, I don't want to know him. I love God. What are you barking at folk for? Man. I hate his brothers. That's Johnny get called folk lie. You know why? Because it's the truth. That's why. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You can't even love your so-called brother. And you see this brother or sister, and you see their need, and you see the opportunity to love that person. If you can't love that person, you sure can't love God. If you can't love the less, you sure can't love the greater. That's what he said. Oh. And this commandment have we from him, from the one whom we have not seen, that he who loveth God loves his brother in like manner. Also means in like manner. So I can't say, I love the Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. To you, I hate you. Nah, well, don't work that way. That can't, you know, be warm to feel. I pray for you. That's not love. Now, did you notice how the profession is negated by the opposite action of their works? When a person said they knew the Lord, or the absence of their works, when a person said they knew the Lord, their profession was eliminated by an opposite action. Whatever they said was negated, instantly negated, every time. It is also used of those who thought they had spiritual privilege because of their own works, and some of those works were quite good, even by religious standards, as in Matthew 7. But they were not works of the Father. It weren't the Father's will. There's a lot of people that are doing great stuff. They ain't saved. And they'll get 100,000 people to agree with them. Get 1,000,000. Why stop at 100,000? Why do you need so many people to agree with you? Either the work is of God or not. Why do you need to have all these people to agree with you? I just know that I know it. I don't... Brother, it's what this Bible says, not what 1,000. And why stop? Listen, if you got 100, you wouldn't be content with 100. I need 101. I need 200 people. You could probably get the whole world. Wouldn't matter. It is also used of people who were and are not prepared for the sudden coming of the Messiah. Lord, open unto us. I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. And I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They weren't ready for the sudden appearance of the Lord. They just lollygagged along. They didn't get to offer their lamps. They weren't ready. They just lollygagged in this life. La, 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 la. He ain't coming out. Okay, fine. Boom, he's here. Doors closed. And you out. It is also used of people who were surprised that they were excluded from the rewards of the righteous, though they thought they were included. Well, Lord, didn't we do X, Y, and Z in your name? We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We done many wonderful works in your name. And I don't know what your name is. Depart from me. They were shocked. What? What? Lord, it's me. Mm-hmm. I know you, and I don't know who you are. I know you ain't going to be around me. Depart from me. Huh? No. That is... Mm-hmm. All of these people failed to follow the simple instructions that were commanded to them by the Lord and thus were excluded from their reward. The simple instruction. He never told them, eat nails, roll on glass, burn yourself alive, do anything absurd and obscene. No, he just said, love this person, follow me, obey me, do this, do that. preaching my gospel. All these simple things. All the simple things. I ain't going to do that, but I'll do this, Lord. Well, what about that? That's what I want you to do. That's what you want to do. You don't introduce what you want to do for me. You do what I tell you to do. We so busy. I'm going to do this for the Lord. Well, what has the Lord already told you to do? Why do you think you need to tell? Why do you think you need to bring something into the mix? You need. I'm going to do this for the Lord. Well, did you pray about it? I don't need to pray about. You don't need to pray about it. Well, okay, let's table that insanity for a second. Are you doing what the Lord already told you to do in the Word? Who are you to? Nothing. I'm nothing, baby. Do your thing. Okay, I'm moving on. Do your thing. They just lose it. Simple obedience. Back to Luke 6. It's just amazing. Simple obedience. We mess up at the simple. It's like we don't act like the simple ain't even there. Brother, sister has whatever need it is. Whatever need it is. And we know it. We claim to have the Spirit. We can see. We claim to have discernment. We're walking in the Spirit. Okay, well, how are you ministering to that brother or sister? Simple stuff. How's it happening? Nothing complicated, nothing big, nothing out of your way, nothing out of your ability to do. How are you ministering to the brother or sister? Simple stuff. Now I want to get my tambourine, clang, 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 make noise like the little monkey. Because that's easy. That doesn't require anything. How about just do that? Because that requires none of you and all of God. And that means that requires a submission to God. And let Him do through you to that brother or sister what you could not possibly think to do without Him. Because you want to do this, and God says, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to do this. Oh, I can't do it because I'm scared of it. Yeah, well, that's because you're doing things your own way. Simple obedience. Simple. The Lord says, go do that. Go say that. Go over there and say, oh, no, Lord, I can't. Here's my tambourine. I didn't put that junk down and do what I tell you to do. Simple stuff. We wonder why we never get to do the bigger stuff. We can't do the simple stuff. I tell people, be led of the Spirit. I might as well go, hum, hum, because it don't even hear. You want to do what glorifies the Lord. You don't want to do what glorifies you. You want to do what glorifies the Lord. That means you have to live for Him and listen to what He's saying and follow His word and His instruction and do that, and God will be glorified and you won't. And if you can live without being glorified, you're going to be all right. And why, verse 46, call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. It's not enough to profess anything or the right thing. It's not enough to call on the correct and proper name of the Lord. It's not enough to acknowledge the obvious that Jesus is Lord. Lord, He is. It's not enough to do that. People do it, but the absence of action proves it doesn't matter what's coming out their face. It doesn't matter what they're saying, because they're not doing. If they really thought He was the Lord, they would respond to Him as if He was Lord. They would do what He said without even a minute of delay if they thought He was the Lord. It's not using the Lord's name, even His proper name, in vain, in a vain religion. That's what it amounts to. The Lord said, don't use my name in vain. Well, what do you think that is? Ooh, even His kids growing up. If we said, God bless, ooh, use the Lord's name in vain. And I'm going like, how did I learn that? You don't know no one ever taught me that? Come to think of it. In New York, if you use God's name in vain, the kids would tell you, you're using God's name in vain. And they would go tell their parents. I was never trained about that. Now that I think about it, no one ever said, you know, don't use the Lord's name in vain. But whenever I heard some, you use the Lord's name in vain. Like, how did I know that? Well, the same Holy Ghost that taught me everything else I need to know and drove me in the direction of salvation is the same one that taught me when I was a dumb kid, the greatest truth of all, don't use God's name in vain. And we would all say it. It was amazing. You better not. God blank. Ooh, and run in the house, tell him. And here comes the switch. Did you ever use the Lord's name? I'm telling you, there's some serious stuff going on that day. And we were not a religious family at all. But there was something about that name. We didn't blaspheme God's name. We were heathens. And all that was vain. That was nothing but a vain religion. Don't you use God's name in vain. What's that going to do to you? You going to get some points or something? You going to get some points before God. You live in vain. And you think, Ben, don't you blaspheme God's name in here. Honey, you a walking blasphemy. Payal. Stop. You know, here it comes. You live in a vain and blasphemous life every day of your life. None of these things are remotely enough. The truly righteous are the ones who are the continual doers of the word. As both Jesus, James, and John, and everybody else we didn't mention clearly stated, because we can go to Peter, we can go to everybody. They all said the same thing. Let me wrap this up here. When Jesus preached, he expected and commanded the listeners to obey what he said. Isn't that a novel idea? However, he knew that some, if not most, would reject it outright. In that case, therefore, there are only two types of people who listen to sermons, according to Matthew 7. Wise and fools. That's it. There's a lot of fools. And we will see the simplicity of both in these verses in Luke. We're going to see the simplicity of who's a wise person, who's a fool. And it's very simple. And this should also tell us something about biblical sermons preached today. Whenever a sermon is preached from the Word of God, one should hear and do what is instructed in the sermon or the sermons. That's wisdom. That means being wise. If one just hears sermons and doesn't do them, it's because the person is a fool. That's what he says. And that's what makes sense. Perfect, clear, biblical sense. Lord, thank you again for making the truth so plain. And you do that, Lord, because you want us to understand clearly so we can do clearly. And then you want us to understand clearly that there's no excuse not to do what you say. We don't want to be those who call Lord, Lord, and who live in rejection of you. We don't want to be those kinds of people. Father, may we just have our hearts examined, Lord, and just do what is right. This is not difficult at all. Because of the Spirit who dwells within us, Lord. We've come a long way in the church world in the wrong direction. And short of a divine work of revival, we are going in the wrong direction, headlong into destruction. Many people are describing these passages, making claims and claiming names and everything, and are headed for judgment because they don't know you. May we not be like them. May we not be one of them, Lord. Help us to understand the truth, Lord, because we are too stupid to do it without an understanding. Father, bless the bread and cup tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.